Daf Ches in Masechtas Nedarim. We're going to start from the last few words on the bottom of Zayin of Vez. So we're really on a tangent right now in the Masechta. The last thing that the Gemara had discussed was this idea of somebody put into Cherim, and who can put someone into Cherim, who can take someone out of Cherim. And we had a few quotes in the Gemara on the bottom of Zayin of Vez from Rav Gidol Amarav. So the Gemara now is going to continue on similar type of topics, but also primarily quoting various halachas of Rav Gidol Amarav. So we're going to start right at the bottom, right in the last few words of Zayin of Vez. But Omer Rav Gidol Amarav. So another halacha that Rav Gidol Amarav says, now on the top of Ches Amud Aleph. Minayin shenishboyin lekayim es ha-mitzvah. How do you know that you can make a shvua to fulfill a mitzvah, an obligation? Shenema, as the pasuk says, Nishpati va'akayema, I will swear and I will fulfill. What am I going to fulfill? Lishmor mishpatei tzedkecha, to watch and to guard the mishpatim of Hashem, tzedkecha, the righteous mitzvahs. So we see that a person can take a shvua just for the sake of fulfilling a mitzvah. So before we give any additional explanation, let's jump right into what the Gemara's kasha is. Gemara's kasha is v'haloi mushba v'oimed mehar sinaihu. How could you take the shvua? The Gemara really has a problem with Rav Gidol Amarav's halacha. How could you take the shvua? And the Gemara understood Rav Gidol Amarav literally that, especially the way the Ran learns, that the chiddush is that I'm allowed to make a shvua, and therefore, and the shvua will be chal. So the Gemara's question is, how can I make a shvua to be chal? Now we're going to learn later in the Masechta that there's no such thing as making a shvua on top of a shvua. So for example, just by way of example, if I swear I'm going to give you my glasses, okay, I swear. And then I say, 2 minutes later, I say, I swear I'm going to give you my glasses. Okay, so I made the same shvua twice. And then I don't give you my glasses, I don't do it. So then the halacha is, the special unique halacha by shvua is that if you don't fulfill your shvua, if you're over in the Yisra Bal Yachal, you get malchus. So it's one of the few that by words, by dibur, you can get malchus. In any event, now I said it twice. So how many sets of malchus do I get? I promised or I swore twice I was going to give you my glasses. So the halacha is that I'm only going to get one set of malchus. You cannot get it's not a second undertaking when I have something. It's already a shvua. I already agreed to do something. I can't do it a second time. So if so, the same concept should apply over here. We know that when we were standing at Har Sinai, we accepted upon ourselves the Torah. We're mushba va'oimid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. We all know Kafa Alem Har Kegigas, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us to accept the Torah, but the accepting of the Torah was our undertaking, that was our shvua, that we were going to fulfill the mitzvahs. So, when I come, it's already a mitzvah on me to put on tefillin. So I decide that I swear I'm going to put on tefillin in the morning. That shvua should not be chal. It's the same thing as promising twice that I'm going to put on my glasses. So that's what the Gemara, in the simple meaning of the Gemara is. Yes, I understand that there's a pasuk, but how in the world is that pasuk chal? How does it manifest? That's the word I'm looking for, right? How does it manifest itself? Because it's already the shvua is already there. So, and the nafkamina would be, again, now we know the halacha is that if I don't put on my tefillin in the morning, I don't get malchus for that. But now that I made a shvua that I'm going to put on my tefillin, maybe I should be able to get malchus. So that's the way the Ran is learning the Gemara. The Ran takes it like one step further. Even though the Gemara's question is very simple, how could the second shvua be chal? But the Ran is really very busy with whether the Isra Bal Yachel is there, goes into effect, versus whether the shvua is there. He's very busy with the malchus and the Bal Yachel aspect of it. But the question still remains as a very simple question. How could I swear that I'm going to do a mitzvah if it's like any other shvua that's already in play? A second shvua should not go into effect. So the Gemara's answer to that kasha is, the Gemara's kasha is, Ela hokamash balon. So what is Rav Gidol Amarav really teaching us? Deshari leila inshel is ruze nafshi, that it is permitted. Not, the chiddush over here is not that the shvua is chal, and not that whether or not there's going to be malchus or not. That's not the point that Rav Gidol Amarav was trying to say. Rather, based on this pasuk, he's trying to say that it's a good idea for a person to motivate themselves to personally take a shvua to do something, even though you have to do it anyway. But as we know, a lot of people have that personality. The Gemara understands the psychology of a person that sometimes, you know, okay, so everybody does it. I have to wake up in the morning to go to davening. Okay, fine. I got to do it, but I'm not so, you know, not everybody gets motivated the same way. But now that I swore I'm going to do it, so then it becomes personal to me and it's my undertaking, so then I do it. And Rav Gidol Amarav's chiddush is that a person should. And it's based on, and the way the Ran says it is because the same way David HaMelech, this is a pasuk in Tehillim. So we're saying, Nishbati, I swore. Va'akayem is referring to David HaMelech. So David HaMelech used to motivate himself by swearing to do things, even though he was supposed to do them anyway. And imagine, David HaMelech was going to do it anyway. It's not a chiddush that he was going to do whatever mitzvah it was. But the point was that it's a good thing to make a shvuah. It's a good thing to make a shvuah to motivate yourself to do that undertaking. That's all Rav Gidol Amarav wanted to say with this pasuk. Again, without getting into the whether there is a Baal Yechel, there isn't a Baal Yechel, it's not so much that it's a shvuah that's going to make you chayav malchus. That's not the point. The point is that I can make it as a motivation and it works in that sense that I am now obligated on my level because I required myself to do it. So the Gemara then takes this, we're going to focus on this concept for a few more lines. But Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav.
Yeah, sure.
Look, if you look at the Ran about three lines before the lines get wider, the last three skinny lines, I'm going to skip into the middle of the Ran, El Hachi Ka Amar. But the Gemara is trying to say, Minayin Shadavar Hogoin Hu Li Shava. How do we know that it is an appropriate thing, it is a proper thing to swear L'Kayim Es HaMitzvah? Okay? He's saying that is the point, that is the maskon of the Gemara. It's a proper thing to be mekayim mitzvah. The afilu ksheirim, and even good people, shenim noyim mishvua, that generally speaking do not undertake and do not swear about things, nishpoin hein bakach, about these type of things they do swear. Shenemar nishpati v'akayemo, as the pasuk says, I will swear and I will do it. Kloimar, this is now I'm on the first wide line of the Ran. Kloimar shahare David haya oisekein. David used to do this. David HaMelech referring to. David HaMelech used to do this. He used, even David HaMelech was not a person who went around left and right swearing. So this is not, so even tzaddikim, even people who are careful with what they say, it's an acceptable behavior to swear to do a mitzvah. And again, even though the mitzvah you have to do anyway. But the motivation, the personal motivation was something to get to do a mitzvah is an appropriate shahogainu. That's the words of the Ran. Said it's a davar hogan, it's an appropriate thing. If David HaMelech used to do it, then we should do it also. Again, I say that with the careful practical applications, but we should understand that it's okay to motivate yourself. Okay. The Omer Rav Gidol. So now on this point, though, the Gemara now continues. Omer Rav Gidol Omer Rav. Ha'omer Ashkin Ve'eshna Perek Zeh. A person says, I will wake up in the morning and I will learn this specific Perek, this specific learning. So Eshna Masechta Zu, or I'm going to learn this particular Masechta in the morning. So the Gemara, again, this is Rav Gidol Omer Rav teaching us the same concept. Neder Godol Nodar Lelekei Yisrael. This is a huge neder that he made. Now the Ran is very focused on the fact that it says neder gadol, is because it's not really a neder technically, it's really more of a shvuah. And okay, so that's what the Ran in the first few wide lines of the Ran is discussing. So we'll agree that it's a shvuah even though we call it a neder. The point is it's an undertaking that he learned a particular masechta. This is a good idea. Again, same idea, that it's a good idea to motivate yourself to accept to do these things. But the Gemara asked the same question. Here the Gemara says what we were saying before. First of all, this is already, you have to learn. You have to learn anyway. So what exactly was the purpose of my Shavuah, especially since once I already have a Chiyuv Minat Torah, what is the point of my Shavuah? So my Kamash Malon. So the Gemara is saying, what is the point of this idea, saying I'm going to learn a particular masechta? The Gemara answers, "Da afilu zruze ba'alma that I can do this, even if it's just going to be to motivate myself. So you're right. It's not going to be a real shvua, technical shvua in the sense, because it's once I already have an existing shvua, I can't add to an existing shvua. I can't add a second obligation to the first obligation. It's the same thing. So you're right. The point is just as a motivation. So the Gemara says, Haina derev gidul kamaiso. So we just said that 2 seconds ago. That's basically the same thing we just said, that I can make a shvua for the purposes of motivating myself. The Gemara answers, you're right. The Chiddush is a little bit more than that, especially in this context. Hokamash Malon, the Gemara is saying, Rav Gidol was teaching us the second point. Kivan de iboy poter nafshe bekriyashma shachris va'arvis. If really, technically, a person could fulfill his mitzvah of learning Torah by saying Kriyashma in the morning and the evening. Now, you're not supposed to say Kriyashma with the idea of for learning purposes. You're supposed to really be having the kavana to be doing it as davening, and a kabbalas ol malchus shemayim. There's a difference between learning the meaning of the words versus the accepting upon yourself the idea of the words, which is kabbalas malchus shemayim. But technically, you are fulfilling the mitzvah of learning, and therefore, when I say, okay, I have a chiyuv to learn, maybe I'm done. Mishum hochi chay l'shvu alei. That's what the shvu is chal for. The shvu is chal to say, no. I'm not going to be satisfied with and fulfill my obligation. It's not sufficient for me to say Kriya Shema. I'm going to actually learn something. Again, the Ram is busy with this idea of what do you mean? What's the Havamin of the Gemara? The Shema, that you can you really fulfill your mitzvah of learning Torah by just saying Kriya Shema in the morning and the evening, and that's it. You're done. You can do whatever you want the rest of the day. Of course, we have a Gitzah b'Yom v'Laila. We're supposed to learn all day and all night. So he says, the Ram says a very big chiddush over here. The pshat in the Gemara is that I could fulfill my mitzvah of learning all day with just reading psukim, with just reading. I could do that. But then I wouldn't be doing drushas. I wouldn't be learning. I wouldn't be, for lack of, I'm not, the Ron doesn't say these words, but for lack of, I could do it, but without using my brain. That's what the Ron is essentially saying. You're right. I can fulfill my mitzvah, and whatever the mitzvah is of learning all day and night, I could fulfill that in a very easy, lazy way. But that's not the learning that we're talking about. The shvua that he's saying, I'm going to learn a masechta. Now we're learning something. Now I'm going to do drushas and akashas and questions and answers. That's the motivation that we're talking about over here. Right, this is the famous dilemma in yeshiva when the guys go and they learn bikiyas. And then you have the guys who want to learn Be'in all day, and you have the guys who want to learn Bekiyas all day. This is always, you know, the fight in yeshivas about whether, what the right mahalach of learning is. But this is what the Ran wants to make that distinction between just reading what's beferish in the pasuk versus drushas in the pasuk. In any event, and the Gemara continues one more point on to develop this last point. Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav. Rav Gidol also says, Ha'omer lechaveiroi nashkim v'neshna perekzeh. So now he adds an extra word. He says, let us, it's interesting that he says it in the plural, but the point is he says, I will get up to learn this perek. So, we already said that that's a good undertaking, a good shvua, that he has to learn that mesechta, but it's more than that. The Rav Gidol Amarav adds, alav lahashkim. It's not good enough that he gets up the next morning at some lazy hour to eventually get around to it. Rather, it's his chiyuv to wake up early in the next morning to learn it. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Vayomer alai ben Odom, as the pasuk says, actually, it's Vayomer alai, take out the parentheses, ben Odom, that's a different pasuk. That's not the pasuk this is referring to. Vayomer alai, kum tse elabiko, go to the valley, v'shama daber oischa, and there I will, oischach, rather, and there I will talk with you, okay, to give an avuah. The Eitzei El Abiko, and I went out to the valley. The Hine Sham Kavod Hashem Oimed. Hashem was already there because Hashem said, "I'm going to meet you in the morning." So Hashem didn't wait, so to speak. However you understand this, but the idea the concept we understand. Hashem wasn't waiting till eventually he gets there. Hashem was already there. If I say I'm going to do something in the morning, I'm going to do something in the morning. So that takes us to the end of the Rav Gidol Amarav's various halachas, and this idea that a person can make a shvuah to fulfill a mitzvah as a motivation. It will be chal for his purposes, and it requires that he actually do it. He actually learn whatever it is that he says that he was going to do. He can be specific about what it is that his shvuah is going to be. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go back to the original topic, which was on Zayin Mabez, where we got into this, where we were talking about putting somebody into chayrim. So, on that note, Omar Rabbi Yosef niduhu b'chaloy. This is an interesting topic. If a person has a dream, and in his dream, somebody puts him into chayrim. Okay, tzarech asara b'nei adam lahater loy. So you need 10 people to undo that kind of chayrim. Even though all it was a dream, still we understand, we take that as that min hashamayim that putting the person into chayrim. Now, so you need 10 people to undo that. Which is, by the way, what we do Erev Rosh Hashanah when we do Mutalach. This is why we do this. We do this in case somebody had a dream that they were put into Chayrim. It's this sugya. But the Gemara then says, V'hu detanu hilchasa. But those 10 people aren't just 10 random people. It's 10 people that, so the Ran has 2 pshatim over here. It means either that they teach halacha, the tano means that they teach halacha, or the tano hilchasa that they learn, even if it doesn't mean teaching it, that they learn hilchasa, that they learn gemara, not just avomas nuloy, but the fact that they just learn something, so either, again, it depends, the fact that they are learning from somebody, that's not enough, or the fact that they are learning some, like mishnayis, but not gemara, that's not enough. Avomas nuloy tano loy, but somebody who just learns but doesn't teach, I'm going to use that first shot in the run. That is not the type of person who has the power to undo this type of chayr. However, the Gemara does say the ileka, the tanu hilchasa, but if, let's say, you live in a community, not everybody lives, you know, in a famous community. So let's say they live out in the boondocks. They don't have 10 people like this. Afilu masnu, the loy tanu, then anachanami. If you live in that type of community, if you're in that area, so then you're right. Anybody who just knows a little bit of learning, so that's good enough. The ileka, now. Here's an issue. Let's say, again, you have to remember, we didn't always live in cities the way we live today. A person could live out in the boondocks. So let's say you live, you know, you're a shliach someplace in one of these countries. So let's say there's nobody there that really knows how to learn. So then what you should do is lezel v'lesev afrashas terachim. You should go to a place where people are constantly walking by. V'yoyev shalma lebei asara. And you should say Shalom Aleichem to 10 people. Ad demikali le asara de gemiri hilchasa. Until you eventually meet 10 people that actually learn. So there is this inyan. There is this issue. You cannot break this chayim. It's a chayim in a shemayim. You can't break this with just 10 random people. It has to be 10 learned people. So the Ran says something very interesting here. He says that the purpose is I'm going to sit and I'm going to say Shalom Aleichem and people are going to answer me. I'll say Shalom Aleichem. They say Aleichem Shalom. You know, like you do by Kiddush Levana. They say Shalom Aleichem to 10 people. Very nice. That helps you protect you, the Ran says, to protect you from getting punished until you reach those 10 people that learn. In other words, you cannot go to the street and just the first 10 people that you see and boom, you're done. That's not the point over here. You still need 10 people who learn the Gemiri Hilchasa. You still need 10 people who know, who are on the level that are able to be matter you. However, if I at least say, at least people walking by say, Aleichem Shalom, Shalom Aleichem, whatever, they're saying that to you, so that will protect you until you eventually meet these 10 people. So on that note, yeah. Amar Ravina L'Ravashi. Yoda man shamte mahu delishrele. Okay, so we had learned already on Zion of Aves, we had already learned that when somebody puts you into Chayrim, if Ruvain puts a guy into Chayrim, Ruvain has to be the one who undoes the Chayrim. So let's say in your dream, particular Rabbi X was the one who put you into Chayrim. Now it was just a dream, but it was this guy who was in your dream, the one who put you into Chayrim. Can you go over to him, instead of this idea of going to 10 people, you say, hey, listen, you put me into it, you in my dream put me into Chayrim, could you undo it? Very interesting question. Can he be the one to undo it? So this was a question that he asked Rav Ashi. So he answered him, he's just a shliach min hashamayim. Really, if you're having a dream like this, that means min hashamayim that putting you in chayrim. So if, just because he made you a shliach a shliach to put you into cherem, you're not, it's not really this person who's putting you into a cherem. It's Minashamayim that's putting you into cherem. So he was never appointed to be the one to undo you, and going over to him in person is not good enough. Amalei Rav Acha Rav Ashi. So now Rav Acha says, Shamti v'sharilei b'chalmei mai. So okay, fine. I understand you can't go over to him in person because he wasn't really there. He's not really the guy. But what if in the dream itself he's the one who says, hey, I'm putting you into chayim. Guess what? Just kidding. You're not a chayim. Let's say he in the dream was the one who he already undid it in the dream. Amarle. So Rav Ashi answered like this. Kishem she'i'ef she labar b'loy teven. Just like you can't have a silo without grain in it. It's now on the top of Chesem Abeis. Kach e'ef she lachaloyim b'loy dvarim b'teilim. So too, this is a Kabbalah that we have in the Gemara, and Brachas discusses this at length. There's no such thing as a dream without faulty, inapplicable things. There's always something silly in a dream that doesn't really apply. So basically what Rav Ashi is saying is, if you put him into Chayim, that's a simen min ha-shamayim that you're put into Chayim. And the fact that they undid it in the dream is just a dvarim b'teilim. That part of the dream, you cannot assume that part of the dream is a real thing. It's like, you know, as the Gemara says, that we have, and nowadays we have a level of nevuah sometimes in a dream. But we have a shaita, a katan, and a chaloyim can be, that's what the Gemara in Brachas discusses, can be a partial nevuah. But the problem with the dream is, you never know which parts are right in this part, you know, especially this week's parsha with all the dreams. You never know which part of the dream is the real part and which part of the dream is irrelevant. The Gemara's Rav Ashi's chiddush is that the part where they undid it, that's the irrelevant part. Otherwise you wouldn't be having a dream about being put into chayrim. So that means you have to go through the process as the Gemara suggested before. So the only way to undo this, by the way, is to have 10 people. Which again, as I said, is why we do this on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So just in case Chas V'Shalom, a person was put into chayrim, we want to make sure that you get out of chayrim before Rosh Hashanah. Continuing the Gemara, Ravina Havale Nidra Lidvisisu. Okay, so this is an interesting topic. Ravina, his wife took on a neder, and he, for whatever reason, at the time when he originally heard it, it was his wife. So we all know the halacha is that a husband has the right to say, mufralach, mufralach. Now, it could be that it was the type of thing that it's not meinoy the meino. Could be. So therefore he didn't say it. But for whatever reason, was not made for the neder. But now, he wants to undo it. Also, the kame de Rav Ashi. So he came to Rav, now remember, this is Ravina, it's interesting. Ravina and Rav Ashi, we all know, put together the Gemara. Ravina was very much a Talmud of Rav Ashi's. So Ravina came to Rav Ashi, Amarle, and he asked him, "Baal mao she'e osa shliach l'charotas ishtoi." Can the husband be the one that could undo the neder for his wife, on behalf of his wife? Now, the way you undo a neder is, you can't just go to a Beis Din and say, "I don't want to do the neder anymore." That's not enough. You need what the Gemara, we're going to get this later in the sugya, the Gemara is going to talk about this. You need a Pesach, you need Charoto, you need the idea of saying, I cannot fulfill this neder anymore. The simple language is, if I had known what it was going to be to do this neder, I never would have accepted this neder in the first place. It's too much for me. Okay, so then the Chacham has what's called a Pesach, that they now have an opening in order to be Matur. So, can the husband be the one who is the Shliach for his wife? So an interesting machlokes rishonim over here. What exactly are we asking? Are we asking specifically about the husband? Or are we just, the husband happened to be the one who's convenient, and it really just means any shliach? So this is a machlokes in the rishonim. The Rambam holds that the Gemara's question is specifically about a husband, because we're afraid that the husband is more motivated to undo it than what the wife herself would really say. Maybe the wife doesn't have a problem with it, you know? The wife says, I make an edda, I'm not going to put on nail polish. And the husband's the one who wants the nail polish. I don't know, whatever it is. So maybe it's his thing, maybe it's not her thing. So maybe it's not really her chara. You're trying to undo her neder, you need to get her position on the thing, and you're really getting the husband's position on the thing. So that's the way the Rambam is learning the sugya. The other Rishonim, the Rashba, the other Rishonim learn that it's not because he's the husband. We just want to know whether a husband can be a shliach. Whether it's a shlichu shalodim kamoisoi type of issue. Whether the husband is a shliach, and it's not unique to being a husband. Right, ishtoi kagufoi, right? Okay, so now, based on this, the way we ask the kasha, the Gemara's teretz is very interesting. So this was the kasha. Can the husband be the representative of his wife? Omar le, so Rav Ashi answered, im chanfen in, iloi loy. He says, if the 10 people, or the Bezdin, it doesn't have to be 10, it's just the Bezdin. If the Bezdin happens to be there, then you could. Then the husband can do this. If the Bezdin is not already there, to put together a Bezdin for this purpose of being the Bezdin, then we don't trust the husband to be a good shliach. So what does that have to do with anything? What does it matter whether they're already there or not? So the answer is because if they're already there, then we are not afraid that the husband is motivated on his own. Especially according to the Rambam, is motivated on his own to do this. You see, if I go through the trouble of putting together a Bezdin, then we're afraid that it's the husband's agenda. And if it's the husband's agenda, he's not really representing the wife, and therefore we can't be moderate, by the way. If they're already there, so the husband's like, oh, by the way, you know, can you take care of this for my wife? So then the husband doesn't really have an agenda. It just happened to work out for him, so he took care of it. So if he's just taking care of it, then he's really representing her. It's very interesting, again, very, very deep psychology of how a person operates. If the husband's motive, I'm going to do this. Now, one second. Now it became his endeavor. It became his campaign. So now we can't trust what he's saying to be the one to be mater his wife. Okay. So that is that. Now, if we're just talking about a shliach, then again, also we just say that he could. But if we're talking about a regular shliach, also that again, then the problem is we have to know that also whether he has the right, he knows what the real reasons are. It's just randomly. If people are there, then we assume that he already had this from before. He knew already what it was. Versus if he's gathering the people, he's kind of creating the situation himself. Okay, now, the Gemara takes this further and says, Shema mino tvas. From this little story, we can learn three halachas. Shema mino bal nasa shliach haratas ishtoi. So first of all, we see that a husband can, again, under the correct circumstances, he can represent his wife if it just works out. That's one thing. That was the obvious point of the story. V'shema mino lo shari l'mishrei nidra ba'asra derabe. The other interesting, this is a side point, we see that a person is not able to be matir, a neder, if his Rebbe is in town. Meaning, you have to go to the highest authority, and you cannot do it, if you're a Talmud of a Rebbe, you don't have authority in your Rebbe's town. This is a general rule, we see this in many places in Shas, where, for example, a Talmud is not supposed to paskin in front of their Rebbe, and so on and so forth. The same thing over here also. Now, because remember, this is a psak halacha. This is not the same thing as being mefer. A mefer you could do on your own. But a matir, you need a bezdin to undo the neder, so you need the highest level of bezdin. So if you are a Talmud and your Rebbe is there, you have to go to the Rebbe. That's why Ravina went to Ravashi. Ravina, because Ravina himself was a qualified person who is on any level, he's the mumcha that you would normally go to. But when Ravashi is in town, Ravina steps down. And so therefore that's the second, again, side point of this chiddush, that you cannot do that, so if your Rebbe is in town. V'shma mino, and the third halach is also what is very clear from the story, ki mechanfin shaper domi. It only works if they're already there, that's when the husband is able to be a shliach for himself. Now again, I've been explaining the Gemara primarily according to the Rambam, that says that the sugi over here is talking about the husband being a shliach for his wife. Again, if you learn like the other Rishonim that it wasn't really unique to a husband, it's just the idea of can I be a shliach, this same halachas also apply, that you can only be a shliach for somebody if the Bezdin happens to be there. Okay. Now, those are the things that we learned specifically from the story. But once we're on the topic of what works to undo a neder, and specifically the way we got into this sugya was because of putting somebody into cherim. So now the Gemara goes and says, just adds a couple extra halachas, some other random halachas on the same topic, but not necessarily learned out of this story. It says, v'shamta afilu ba'asrei derabe. We could put somebody into cherim even in the city of his Rebbe. Meaning, we just said 2 seconds ago, to be mater and neder, if the Talmud is in the city of his Rebbe, he cannot be part of the process. He has to use the Rebbe, he has to use the highest authority When it comes to putting somebody into Cheirim, you do not have to be the highest authority in the city in order to put them into Cheirim. Anybody can put them into Cheirim. Okay, talking, not putting, okay, I said that to put into Cheirim, but the way Art Scroll is pointing it out is that we're talking about even putting, taking him out of Cheirim. Okay, so if you're the person, I guess it goes hand in hand. Because if you're the person who put him into Cheirim, only that person can take him out of Cheirim. So, if you're the one who put him into Cheirim, since you're the one who has to be the one who undoes it, you can undo the Cheirim, you can annul the Cheirim, even if your Rebbe is available. As opposed to, again, in contrast to what we said about a Neder, that you cannot undo the Neder if your Rebbe is there.
The whole thing is undoing,
right?
Not putting.
Yeah. On what?
The whole
thing. And also the second thing is that you could also go to one individual. You don't necessarily need to go to a Bezdin. You could go, it could be an individual who, again, if he's a Yachid and a Mumcha, he's able to undo the Nether. Or under the Cheirim. Something that's important to point out, we don't go into the differences between Shamta and Nidui. There is a difference between the two. I don't know what the subtle differences are, but there is a subtle difference over here. But the point is that if it's just a Shamta, it's not a Cheirim, so then, and it, maybe that's the difference. A Nidui needs the person who put him into Nidui. That could be. As opposed to a Shamta, A Shamta is less of a Cheirim. Shamta is a separation, so that can, any Yachid Mumcha can undo it. Amar Rav Shimon bar Zvid, Amar Rav Yitzchok bar Tavla, Amar Rav Chia Aricha. So this is all one person quoting the next person. So, bar Tavla, Amar Rav Chia bar Aricha, he said in the name of Rav Chia, the long one, the tall one, Devei Rav Acha, in the yeshiva of Rav Acha, Amar Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira said this, Amar Rav Elazar, in the name of Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Chanino, Amar Rav Miyasha, Mishmeid Rav Yehuda bar Eloi. All of this is in the name of Rav Yehuda bar Eloi. So the pasuk says, "May dechsev." What do we learn from the pasuk? "Vezorcho lachem yirei shemei." So let's see what this pasuk says. "Vezorcho lachem yirei shemei shemesh." Well, the sun will shine for those people. Well, the way the Gemara is answering, the way the Gemara is reading it, in a second you'll say, "Yirei shemei" is the people who are afraid of my name. Shemesh tzedakah. Umarape, and it's going to, the sun is going to heal, b'chnafel, with its wings, v'yotzasem, u'pishtem ke'igle marbeik, and they'll go out like the wool of a fattened sheep. Okay, that's the pasuk. But we're gonna darshan over here. V'zorcha lechem yirei shemei. We're gonna darshan this worth, just focus on these words. The sun will shine for those people who are afraid of my name. What is this referring to? The Gemara says, again, all of this is in the name of Yehuda bar Eloi, says, Elu b'nei Adam shehen yirein lahoyti shem shamayim levatolo. This is referring to that the sun will be healing for them, will be beneficial to them, for those people who are afraid to say shem shamayim levatolo. Then what? The end of the pasuk will finish. Shemesh tzedakah umarape. The sun will be for them a tzedakah, and it will heal them. So we see for those people who are, don't use Hashem's name in vain, then they will have a bracha. They're afraid to say Hashem's name in vain. Now, it's interesting, especially again with this week's parasha, with Yosef HaTzadik using the Shem Hashem, when you use the Shem Hashem properly, so then it adds bracha. But this is, so the Gemara over here is saying, afraid to use Hashem's name in vain, but there is a way to use Hashem's name properly, to refer to the fact that your hatzlocha and whatever you do is coming from Hashem. So, Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, Shema Mina, from here we learn, Charga Diyoyma Masi. The way they translate this is the dust of the day heals. Meaning, if you ever have, let's say through a window, the sun shines this ray of light, and in the ray of light there is dust that you could see moving in the ray of light. That dust is healthy for people. That does heal people, and especially those people who are makbid with the shame Hashem. Okay, so now upliga the Rav Shimon ben Lakish. This way of darshaning the pasuk argues on Rav Shimon ben Lakish, because we are learning the way Abaya is learning, the way Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi is learning this pasuk. He's learning this pasuk to have a relevance for us in our today, everyday today's actions. That if a person, again, it refers to Olam Hazeh. That if a person talks properly in Olam Hazeh, then the sun for them in Olam Hazeh is going to be healing. Reish Lakish argues and says, "The Amar Ein Gehenim LaOlam Haba." He learns that this is referring to Olam Haba. He says that there is no Gehenim LaOlam Haba. There's really, in other words, this, now, actually interesting in the Ran, says this is not talking about after Misa. After Misa, of course, there is Gehenim and Gan Eden, because there are Rishoyim, and of course there is Gehenim for Rishoyim. This is referring to when Mashiach comes and there's Tchiyas HaMeisim. That's what he says. When he says Lo'ilam Haba, the words Lo'ilam Haba over here, this is a big topic in the Rishoyim, what Lo'ilam Haba means. Does Lo'ilam Haba mean after a person dies, or does Lo'ilam Haba mean does it mean the after Mashiach, after Tchiyas HaMeisim? So the way the Ran learns very clearly over here, this Olam Haba is referring to after Tchiyas HaMeisim, is not talking about after death. In any event, he says like this: Ein Gehenim Lo Olam Haba. There's no Gehenim. Ela Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moitzi Chama Min Artika. Hakadosh Baruch Hu takes the sun out of its cover, which we can talk about in a moment, and the sun becomes a very bright sun. It becomes a different level of sun. Now what happens? Tzadikim is rapin ba. The tzadikim are able to benefit from it. They get healed from it. V'rishayim nidoyim ba. And the same sun, the rishayim, are troubled by it. Because we have to understand that this sun that we're talking about is a ruchniyastika sun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are not zoicha to the sun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the sun into a nartik, hid it from us in its full glory. So it has a level of ruchnias that anybody who's a tzaddik can benefit. But if you're not a tzaddik and you're not on that level of ruchnias, then the sun is just a very, very hot sun and it will destroy you. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'zorcho lechem yirei shemi shemesh. So again, saying those people, and it will shine for them, those people who are protective, are careful with my name, shemesh, the sun. So again, we're darshaning this pasuk totally not literally the way Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi learned it, but rather in Olam Haba, it's going to be, the sun is going to be a protection, a healing for those people who protected, who are Mekayim the Mitzvahs. V'loy oid, elish misandin boy, misadnin boy. It beautifies the person. It smooths out a person. Shenemar, v'yotzosem, you'll go out, upishtim, ki'igle marbek, and you'll go out in the sun, and it will be like the sheep that are fattened that are healthy sheep, fattened in the stalls, they translate it. In any event, we see that it's going to be very beneficial for those people. And we see the opposite effect for those Rishoyim. Shenemar v'hine yoimbo boyer ketaner. The day is going to come, meaning when Tchiyas HaMeisim comes, Mashiach comes, it's going to burn like an oven. There'll be like straw in an oven, and the straw, of course, ignites in 2 seconds, and it's just going to burn up and be extinguished, and it's going to be a very not comfortable situation for the Rishoyim. So again, that's Reish Lakish's pshat. Reish Lakish is learning that this is referring to Olam Haba. Again, it's the way the Ran learns, is talking about after Tchiyas HaMeisim, and then that's when the sun is going to have its extra powers, and only those people who are prepared for it are going to benefit from it. Those people who are not prepared for it, they're going to be on a different level. They're not going to be able to sustain it. So they will be destroyed. Okay, we'll stop over here at the bottom, right at the bottom of the Yomim.